For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Yes, I am back. Sorry that it's been, I guess it's been like 2 weeks since we had managed to get a show. We kind of got shellacked with a lot of snow here in the Midwest, in case you didn't know about it. And you're probably getting a bit of it yourself, especially if you're north of us. I bet you're still buried under. We're expecting some melting to happen this week. So we got hit with some snow, and so we got kind of busy. And I wanted to bring my wife, Heather, the bio nerd, on here with me again. Say hello.
Hi.
And sometimes it's difficult to coordinate both of us together at the same time to get us both together. But that was the goal, to have her back on, because I think I'm better with other people. And we had a lot of fun last time, didn't we?
Yeah.
Fun. So I thought, oh, it'll be fun. We'll just have her back on again. And I thought, and plus she wanted to be a part of this show, because this week we're going to talk about the Care Bears. Now, I know they've been modernized throughout the years. They're still around, and there's some newer type of toys, but we're going to kind of focus on the Care Bears that we remember when we were little kids basically came around in the 80s. So this episode is going to be all about caring a lot, because we care a lot.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Mm. Okay. You got to speak up louder than that, because when I noise gate your microphone, you might be disappearing with me. Since she sits right next to me, her microphone picks me up, and so I'm using this noise gate thing to try to remove myself from her mic so everything sounds good. So hopefully that all sounded good last week, and hopefully this episode is sounding good to you this week, because I aim to please. So
you aim to please.
Okay, yeah. But anyway, so we're going to talk about the Care Bears today, but I have some other fun things, of course, to bring up when we get into, of course, our basic questions. But before I get into the basic questions, I really kind of need the music to go away. But I'm going to talk throughout the music, because I do want to remind you all to visit NeverlandPodcast.com, where you can... Oh, hey, well, there goes the music. NeverlandPodcast.com is home base. It's where we also have a shop where we have a lot of different merchandise in there available for you, which when you do that, it does help with the show. Of course, we do have exclusive versions of the show, whether through Red Circle or through Patreon. You can hear the show without the ads cutting you into the middle or at the beginning and the end. And also don't forget to check out Watching Movies with My Pastor, which we hopefully are recording one of those tomorrow, and we're going to be sitting and watching Superman. So pretty excited about that. That should be fun, because we're, you know, I'm bringing like the biggest Superman fan that I know to watch that show. So,
yeah, he is.
So the first thing, of course, I have on Host Chatter is, what have you been watching? And I'm utilizing this opportunity for what I've been watching to say that this was like part three of the sixth season of Cobra Kai was finally put on Netflix. And you actually, well, I don't know that you paid a lot of attention to this. I mean, you haven't really watched a lot.
I paid more attention to this one than the previous ones, because I don't know, this one was the best of what I had seen. Now, I haven't seen all of them. The ones that I'd seen before, I just could not get into, and honestly,
too much teen
really
drama.
Yes, too much teen drama. When you work with teenagers every day of the work week, then yes, you get tired of the drama, and it's over drama because it's TV, you know.
Yeah. And which is why she also hasn't watched the best Christmas pageant ever
Yeah.
Or Greatest Christmas Pageant. Either way, she hasn't watched that because she's like, oh, I don't, you know, they're kids. I don't know. But I think she'd like it. I'm going to get her to watch it next Christmas.
I have to get in the right mood for it. And maybe over the summer. I know that's the Christmas movie in the summer, but I will have been away from students long enough to forget their shenanigans a little bit. So maybe that'll work out better.
You'll like it. It's really good.
I'm sure it's good.
Yeah, it's very good. In fact, there's actually some movies. This came out this weekend that I would kind of like to see. The Unbreakable Boy was Zachary Levi. It's actually put out by the same people who put out The Jesus Revolution. Just opened this weekend. We'd kind of like to check it out, although it's a little bit more of a drama, but a heartwarming drama. So I think I'd have to be in the right mood for it, but I would like to check that out. I'm appreciating some of the movies coming out over the next few weeks, months, because we do have The Last Supper, which is a live action Jesus movie.
Chosen.
Yeah. Well, no, that's not The Chosen.
Oh, Chosen is getting close to...
Chosen is, I got their next season. They had a little preview for it, and you do get to see The Last Supper happens for them, too. But this is actually a movie.
Oh, okay.
And that's not The Chosen. But they tried to make it as high quality like that. And also, we are getting, I think, King of Kings, which I don't know if it's related to the old movie, King of Kings. That's pretty good. I kind of like it.
Yeah, it's the black and white one.
There was a color one we watched. Isn't that the one where Charlton Heston's in it going, repent, and dunking people in the water?
No, you're thinking of The Greatest Story Ever Told.
Oh, okay.
That's The Greatest Story. There is an older one than that, which is King of Kings. And it's usually when I see it on, like, you know, Turner Classic Movies, it's a black and white.
Well, I bet there's black and white and a color, because I'm pretty sure I've watched it in color.
A lot of them have colorized.
Your parents have one.
The black and white. Yeah.
Pardon me while I sip my cocoa. Nice to have a nice warm throat when we talk. So, but this one is animated, and it's kind of all-star cast, and a lot of people were kind of shook to find out that Mark Hamill is playing, like a Caiaphas? Or something like that. King Herod.
That is kind of surprising.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people that it's I think it's through Angel Studios. So it's kind of a big thing. And you know, there's probably some people voicing characters. There's actors we know that they don't share their values don't seem to align up with the Bible so much. But that doesn't mean they're not talented. There's people who even work on Adventures in Odyssey that the people who make Adventures in Odyssey, not all of our actors are Christians, but we just try to find people who are good for the role.
Yeah.
So, in fact, one actor in particular who plays a pretty prominent character, I've seen him in a movie actually with Mark Hamill. That's kind of a mockumentary thing, and he does his impression of Ozzy Osbourne, and it is expletive laden. Mm-hmm. But I think he is at least a Christian, but he's not perfect. These people aren't perfect, you know. And but we have some non-Christian people that doesn't even know, or at least from every indication, their fruits don't seem to show us anything that we recognize as Christianity. So that doesn't mean they don't do a great performance. And the role. So I'm still would like, I want to support movies like this by seeing them when they're in the theater. So I still would like to go.
But it's good that they're willing to portray a biblical character because there are some people that wouldn't even consider that, you know, like, I think there is, I would hope for some people that even though maybe they don't believe, you know, Christianity the way that we would hope that they would, that they at least respect those individuals that are part of the story, you know, and maybe that's where they're coming from. I don't know, but I appreciate them doing it anyway.
I'm glad at least that it's getting made and they're trying to make it high quality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the King of Kings one is the one that's from the perspective of John. And they're thinking, you know, we don't know exactly just how young John was. So they're kind of looking at it. What if, you know, from John's perspective, and maybe what if John was just like, you know, maybe about 15, maybe he was just this teenager because he outlived everybody else. So they're thinking he might have been pretty young, but that's the kind of a speculative thing that I guess some scholars
that
kind of
would
lean
be
on. There's because we don't know. So there's a lot of people who are scholarly about this will kind of think, you know, it's possible that this like in The Chosen, when they look at Matthew, because Matthew is very detail oriented in The Chosen, they thought, well, maybe he was kind of on the spectrum and that's why he was so focused and was so good with details and numbers. And so it's kind of interesting. It's like, that's an idea. We won't know till we get to meet them on the other side of everything. Right.
Yeah.
And I think I've just found something. There it is. Yeah. There's the size 11 tester. Maybe this is the one that I use. I'm going to get, that's the kind of finger too.
You have to edit that out.
Yeah. Not really. Basically I bought as just telling a fun story. I bought a new silicone ring because, my old Spider-Man one, it got to where it was,
it was hurting my finger. I think my fingers grew or something as I've gotten older.
I think you got a little infection or something in there, like a little bacteria or something.
After it was on there for a while. But I just found my ring sizers. I thought I'd only had, it's like, oh, I see a size 10 one on my desk. That must be what the size was. And so I thought, let's go size up to 11. So I bought an 11 and now I just found an 11 one. And heck, on my right finger, it slides on and off real easy. But anyway.
Our hands are not symmetrical.
Well, anyways, but let me get back to what we've been watching. We mentioned Cobra Kai season 6, part 3. Now, I will go on record. Y'all probably, if you've been listening long enough, have heard me say that as this season started with the first part, I felt like it was very unnecessary. And it felt like they were just generating drama for no apparent reason. During the second part, they kind of resolved a lot of that extra bit of drama. And I'm like, okay, well, that's better. But this third part, they decided, you know what, even though I felt like in the season 5 that we came to a very nice ending, and I was pretty happy with it, they decided, you know what, let's give everybody as much of a happy ending as possible with this. I don't want to spoil anything and say what those endings are, but this one just felt more, less teen drama and more just on the level of maybe the first movie of a balance to just good storytelling and wrapping things up. Within families and
it was very satisfying.
Yeah, it was very.
It was a very satisfying way to wrap it up, and I feel like there was a bit of almost kind of like a little
fan service, maybe.
Well, yeah, fan service, but like love letter to the original. Yes. Like we're gonna make this all good, and if you are like our age where we watched this movie when it came out and all that kind of stuff like that. And you love the original one, you're going to love the way that they wrap it up.
Yeah.
Like it makes you feel good. I don't know if the younger generations would think it would be corny. I don't know. Maybe there's a little cheese on it, but it's okay. We like cheese and corn. So there you go.
And my only complaint is like, we really didn't need F-bombs. We didn't have any F-bombs dropped in the original movies. We didn't need that in the series. I wish they had not done that. I don't think that was necessary. It really wraps up every stories and everything. And I like the fact that we have gotten to the point where Johnny and Daniel find out they're maybe not so different and they get past their differences and become friends. And, we've seen throughout this series, them eventually learning to teach together, finding their common ground, learn to stop blaming each other for their problems. And that's one of the things that I thought was really, really, that's one of the best parts of it is because when we get to Johnny in the first season, he blames Daniel for his life being terrible, but somebody else who has more to blame on it actually apologizes and says, like, the way I treated you was horrible, and I feel awful. Like, for the last 35 years, I know it's my actions, because you were fine before I did this particular thing, and I spiraled you out of control by the way I treated you in this moment. And I was like, oh, there it is. And I love a good villain redemption.
And I think you might have said too much, maybe.
I'm trying to keep it. I mean, it's been out for a few weeks. So if you were intending to watch it, you've probably binged it as well. But I love a good villain redemption. If a villain can be redeemed, I mean, that is the basis of our Christian belief is we're all the villains. Really. We were enemies and Christ still died for us anyway. And we all get a redemption story. Some of us are worse villains than others, perhaps, but we're all still villains. And when you can see a villain either. It's pleasing to see a villain get what's coming to them, but it's also pleasing to see them realize, wow, I'm the bad guy and want to make it right. I love that. A good villain redemption. When a villain turns and becomes a pretty decent guy, they ain't going to be perfect. But when you see them start to change, I love that. I love a good redemption story. It's just ingrained in us, I think. So,
yeah.
Thoroughly enjoyed. It was worth it. Going through the little bits of season to get to this final bit where they put a nice little bow on the whole series. And so now I'm just looking forward to the next movie with Jackie Chan.
I'm just glad I skipped the drama. I'm good with what I saw. I'm good.
Yeah, I don't know how much of the series you even really watched.
Because it was a little bit soap opera-ish and extended for a long period of time. That style tends to lend itself easily to picking up and like figuring out what happened between point A and point B. That's just the way they are. Even the stuff that I watch that's a little more soap opera-y, you can pick it up at any old episode and you can figure out what's going
on. Although I really feel like you missed out the first season that Terry Silver made his return. into the series. And because that's also where we brought in Chosen, found out what Havoc became of Mike Barnes. That was more a heroes and villains thing, kind of thing going on.
Well, I'm sure there were good things that would be worth
that you
watching.
Really
but
missed. Yeah.
But to get to the gist at the
Chosen
end,
Chosen became a very lovable character and during that season. You realize, well, Chosen, and that's in one other one where jerks redeem themselves. Chosen was a villain in the second movie. Mike Barnes, even a villain in the third movie. And you see that they've seen the error of their ways and have changed and become really just lovable characters. And you really want some good things to have them. And Chosen was like my favorite character in the series. He was just great.
It was fun.
He was just a lot of fun. And he was
what I saw.
He was so horrible in Karate Kid 2. He was such a, you know, stuck up, spoiled jerk that, you know, you see him come around and humble and actually kind of wise. He was almost like the Miyagi. He had a lot of that Miyagi wisdom that he had gained throughout stuff. And he was just with sage advice. And boy, he was a tough warrior, though. You give him the right, you know, motivation. So I like the way his story arc ended up, too. So we had to kind of wait a long time because they set everything up and then we had to wait to see where he was going to end up in the end.
Yeah, that was almost the last of the last. Yeah, they wrapped that up.
They finally say, oh, there's Chosen. It's like we kind of miss him during this segment of the season. We wanted to see more Chosen. So. But yeah, it was good. So definitely recommending it. So what have you been playing while you're still doing your same old Stardust Valley?
Well, I guess last time when I was talking about like what I've been watching because of the snow days, because here in our area we were out almost an entire week of school
I still had to work
and so I did spend a lot of time watching a variety of things. I finished up the Spy Family of what's available to us. I still haven't watched
you're
that one
the subtitled last version.
Yeah, because I like the voice actors better with that than I do the English version of it. And I'm always iffy about it with anime. Like sometimes I like the English and sometimes I like the Japanese. I will say if you don't mind subtitles and you like anime, the Japanese with the English subtitles come out faster than the English dubbed versions.
Yeah. And it would probably help me out because when we were trying to watch some of the English, I was like, I can't Anya half the time. I can't understand what she's saying because she's doing it being this voice to be a little kid. And when she gets it, you know, and
that's horrible to listen to. Even
it is. It is. When she gets all excited and starts hollering and stuff, I can't understand a word she says. And it's hard to listen to. And I'm afraid like a lot of Japanese anime and stuff. When I hear it, they still high pitch voice very much. But at least there'd be some subtitles on the screen I could read to know what in the world she's saying.
Yeah, maybe that's why it didn't bother me, because I watched it with the subtitles and I could follow along. And you can kind of see like with little kids, sometimes they mispronounce something. Yeah. Like she has a little word instead of an outing, it's an ooting.
Yeah.
You know,
you miss some of that without the subtitles, I bet.
And so, no, the subtitles actually do misspell. Like she would say ooting with ooh, like two O's.
Okay.
So you do get the catch. And like when they mess up the Forgers is their last name, but sometimes it gets Holgers or whatever. And so I don't know if that
now I want coffee.
If that is if that is because of like the just the difficulty of saying F's in Japanese or what it is. But it's the Forgers, like you're forging a signature, which is ironic.
Mm.
Because they're fake.
Yeah, because it's a fake family. I bet somebody did that on purpose.
Yeah, but the other things that I did get some episodes in, so the ongoing stuff that I watch, one is called the Apothecary Diaries, which I hadn't mentioned. So they got a new episode out, and it's fun. It's about a...
Well, we try to limit to what you're watching this week to like one show.
Oh, well,
the entire podcast isn't about what we watched this week. It's just a fun little chatter.
But anyway, it's Apothecary Diaries and then also Rurouni Kenshin. But that comes out every week. So like I have to catch it up.
Is that the one where I wanted to bring up because you mentioned like an annoying voice or some anime thing that you mentioned that in the original version. Oh, no, that's the one half Ranma. Somebody's got this really horrible voice in the original, and they said it, and you've tried to have me hear a little bit, and they said, it's still bad, but it's not as bad as it was. But,
yeah, so, yeah.
And that's the American voice, or is that the Japanese voice?
That's the Japanese voice. I've not watched it in English. I don't think I've watched it in English. I'm trying to remember. Oh, no, I have. Sorry, I did. It was the English version. I have not. Now, the new Netflix, when they redid it, which that one stalled out, they got kind of to a cliffhanger, and then they quit, so I'm assuming, like, I don't know what's going on.
Probably have to work up the next season. It takes time to animate stuff.
The Netflix one, the new one that come out that recently, that one's in Japanese, I believe. But the old one, the Ranma one half, which I could go on about that. But anyway, there is, yes. So their characters, some of the characters are so over the top that there is a couple of them that the laugh that they give them and they perpetually laugh is so annoying. You know, I mean, and that's something saying, like, I love anime and there's, you know, things that are annoying to you and other people that are like, I can't stand that and I'm annoyed by it. But anyway, so yeah. But playing, well, I picked up Stardew Valley again.
Yeah, you're playing the same things that you always play. I have tried to get her to play some Final Fantasy VII because I've got a copy of the original PlayStation 1 that play on the PS3. And by the way, if you check out Watching Movies with My Pastor, we have a few episodes where I've got her playing that. But I she hasn't got to where she plays it on her own. So, but maybe maybe it's more fun to play with me there to kind of point you in the right direction.
It's helpful because if you weren't there, I would probably have been frustrated and gave up on it.
Oh, all right, well,
to be honest, we need to sit and play it. Really, to be honest,
you get far enough, you probably have more fun with it.
You know, I just like the farming game because it's relaxing. After end of the day, I can just tend my little crops and actually start a new farm. Which I know you keep the same farm, but I like
Stardew Valley.
I like starting over again. I like seeing if I can configure things better, like the next time. Third or fourth.
That's actually kind of what I've been playing, and I probably mentioned this last time. Like, just for a comfort thing, I went and I replayed Final Fantasy VII Rebirth one more time, and I noticed like some different things. Oh, and that's something I wanted to bring up now, because I noticed some different stuff with a lot of you might be playing on the PC or haven't yet or intend to, and I might spoil some stuff, but I did notice some bits of what I might be happening in the third game with what the Gi tribe talks about with the creation of the black materia, that maybe they didn't intend for it to be black and stuff like that. And maybe Genova had something to do with how it became the black materia instead of a white materia, because they were trying to make something pure to fulfill their wish of leaving this world. That they talk about how their world was collided into Gaia, which is the world that this takes place on. They talk about their world being consumed into Gaia, and I'm like, all right, that could very well be the original Calamity from the Sky Genova meteor that hit in the northern hemisphere. I wonder if that has something to do with it, how the Gi tribe got onto Gaia, and I'm kind of wondering where that's going. But what I've actually been doing now, what I've been playing now, is I'm playing Crisis Core again, because it's just a relaxing kind of fun game, and it's nice to play some of the original stuff. And eventually, though, I do plan on playing Persona 5. All these things I've had recommended by the PlayStation Access YouTube channel. They've talked about Persona 5 for a long time, and I'm planning to sit and play. I'm playing more Japanese style role playing games now, because I didn't used to play these things, but I'm like, you know what? I kind of like these, so I'm going to try these out and play them. And I'm even I've got on order one of the repixelated collections of the first 6 Final Fantasy games. So I'm like, you know, I should try these out. And I even tried. I've got the little miniature Nintendo Classic, and I tried to play the original Final Fantasy, and I keep getting myself killed pretty easily. There's like some tricks to it that I need to figure out. I need to coach myself on that one. So there might be more help on the repixelated version, so I'll probably give that a go here too. But yeah, that's kind of what I've been playing with. So I don't know that there's any significant news things. I didn't put anything on there that I would want to talk about, and if we were going to have any trailers, that would be a separate show that I usually do for just for the Patreon, for the trailer park, but I haven't really gotten to organize any trailer park stuff. But I do want to mention that in March, I should have pulled this up, Planet Comic Con here in Kansas City. I believe it's like March 21st, 22nd. I wish I had a calendar that I could reach. But on the Sunday during Planet Comic Con, I will be having a panel with Dan Vietz of ThankYouWaltDisney.org. I usually do things with him all the time. I should have organized for more than one panel. The 21st, 22nd, 23rd is the weekend of Planet Comic Con in Kansas City. But on the 23rd, that Sunday, I will be having a panel with Dan Vietz. Normally I would have maybe something with Marceline, or even talk about some of the artists that used to work with Walt here in Kansas City and what they went on to do. I've done the same ones, you know, quite a few times, but I didn't get organized to do all the other stuff yet or at any point. So I've only got one panel this year. But I might be there a few other days in the capacity with Diz Radio, which y'all need to go check out Diz Radio. I do a segment with him, with Jonathan Johnson, although we're getting back to more weekly basis and everything. He's been kind of busy and hasn't gotten episodes out as often as he would like, which sounds familiar because that happens to me too. But he's been talking to Diz Radio. He wants to be able to try to get us out to more conventions. So I told him, say, hey, I'm going to be at Planet Comic Con. Let's just tell everybody. you want to come see me do my thing, come out there, say hello. Maybe I'll even get Jonathan to, I don't know that I'll have stickers for the Fandom Nexus, but maybe I'll have some Diz Radio stickers for anybody who is interested in getting a sticker or something. I don't know. I'll talk to Jonathan, see if he can send me some stuff down here. But that is coming up in March. Visit planetcomicon.com. You'll find out how to get tickets. The guest list is amazing.
I almost wish I was going, but I don't like crowds and I don't want to stand in line.
I brought you along with me one time and you sat in the corner of the building.
It's so interesting to people watch. That's really why I wanted to go. I just wanted to just watch it all go by.
Christopher Lloyd.
Yes.
Holy cow.
There's some good ones.
Yes. Anyways, but yeah, so that's coming up very, very soon. But all right, so we're about to turn the corner and talk about the Care Bears. But before we do that, let's take a quick moment. Let me talk to you a little bit about Dubby. If you go to NeverlandPodcast.com, you'll find a large logo for Dubby. Click on that, or if you go to Dubby.gg, use the discount code Neverland. If you happen to play a lot of games and everything, and you want to get some good, healthy energy without getting the jitters, Dubby has drink mixes. You can mix it with water. They have a lot of containers for you to mix it in, and lots of different flavors. Go and order yourself a packet, and if you, of course, use the discount code, not only do you get a discount, but you help out the show as well. All right, now I'm going to let a couple of other ads play that those of you who are not exclusive members or members of Patreon are going to hear these ads. And we'll be right back after this.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Okay, so I feel like we should have a countdown because at least when the Care Bear Cousins showed up, there was the Care Bears countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The little kids would come in and then the show would start.
You might watch more of the show than I did.
Oh, when they got to the Care Bear Cousins, it was on every afternoon. I remember even during the summer, it would be on in the afternoon. I made sure I watched it every afternoon. I loved watching the Care Bear cartoon.
Well, my watching the Care Bear cartoon was hit or miss. Be honest, but we didn't have cable. We didn't have
it was on syndication,
regular channels. 4, 5, 9, and 19, and sometimes 62.
Like that, it was either 62 or 41 that had it.
So, I mean, like I said, it was kind of hit or miss. But we had, I don't know, this is probably getting into it, but we did have some Care Bear like toys.
I don't know that I really had any toys, but the first time I remember seeing them is in Easter morning, and there was glasses that were available through some food chain, and me and my brother and a sister had a glass, and I sat down in front of a Cheerbearer glass. I thought, you know, it's a good colorful little bear. I kind of liked it, and I didn't like brown, but I ended up that the Tenderheart Bear was actually the one that I was supposed to be receiving. So I got moved from where I sat down to a different spot because my sister was supposed to get the pink one because pink was for girls. But I kind of liked Cheerbearer's look, had the little rainbow of colors.
Yeah.
I can't remember I think it was, might've been the grumpy bear that was my...
There's a grumpy bear.
Yeah, but I think that's the glass that my brother got.
Oh, okay.
Now, as I have grown up, I don't, of course, have the same glass, but I do have a Tenderheart Bear glass down there. I think it's the only Care Bear glass I've been able to find. I'd like to find some of the other ones. Oh. But yeah, that was the first time I remember seeing a Care Bear. And then I got a book. I know it was Meet the Care Bears, which I found out there's an audio version of that book where they had a read along, but I didn't have that book that I remember. Of course, that was back when even in school, because I remember I must have been second grade, I think, when I had that book. And I had books and I could read, but I didn't actually read them. I just like looking at the pictures. I had a habit of doing that. Unless it was a read-along book. I would listen in and go along with a read-along book, but I wouldn't sit there and read them on my own. I would just like to look at the pictures.
Yeah, I did that a lot when I was young, too. Like, totally different, had different stories. I actually had a record. So this is quite a while back. I don't know. I was like maybe 4, 3, something like that. Anyway, but 2, 1. Yeah, anyway.
Bear, yeah. Okay.
But anyway, like at that time, I couldn't read, but I remember looking at the story of Alice in Wonderland because that was one of the records that we had, but I couldn't read anything. But we did have a tape. So this was tape and it had a small booklet and it was a read along, you know, kind of thing that we had up Care Bears. But I don't remember what it was about. I don't remember. Like,
I bet if we found it, you would be like, oh my gosh, that's it.
Yeah, probably if I saw the title or saw part of it, I would know what it was. But that was our first Care Bear thing. Laura got a Care Bear lunchbox. I had a Rose Petal Place lunchbox, which nobody knows what that is anymore.
I have no idea.
But anyway, but she had the Care Bear lunchbox, and that probably is the only licensed Care Bear stuff that we had. Mom sewed, and so she found a pattern, and I see this a little bit still today, but you could go to the fabric store and you could get a picture of the Care Bear or whatever, and you cut it out and sew it up and you stuff it. And like, so
yeah.
I had a birthday bear one, and then my sister, she had something, I don't remember, it had a heart on it, but I don't remember.
It could be tender heart.
It was not tender heart.
Could have been lots of love, I think.
I don't remember what it was. I just knew mine was.
You remember what color the bear was?
Bear. I want to say it was like a brown or something.
That'd
like
be
that.
Tenderheart bear.
I don't think that's what it was.
Yeah, Tenderheart bear was brown and had a big heart.
No, I don't know.
He was kind of the leader of the Care Bear.
Like I said, I don't. It was Laura's bear, so okay. I my sister's bear, so which I didn't.
We'll get into more of the details on some individual bears as we go along. Yeah.
Now,
I have.
You did give me. I think you gave me a Tenderheart bear.
No, I bought you a Cheer Bear.
Was it a Cheer Bear? Because it was like it's like a.
Well,
like
there's a Funko.
It's like
downstairs.
A Funko Pop type of thing.
Of Cheer Bear.
You got me. Okay, it's Cheer Bear.
I think I got you. I guess I got you. They remade some classic My Little Ponies. I remember getting you one of those, but I could never find Applejack for you.
Yeah, Applejack was my first one. Yeah. So anyway.
But I think there was some little stuffed ones I found at the roller rink once when we took the kids to the roller rink with a church group and everything. When we took some kids out there, and I think I bought a little stuffed Care Bear, little one. That was a different bear, and I can't remember which one it was.
Oh, no.
I remember bringing one, like a couple of them. I was able to, they weren't very big. They were like maybe, I don't know, 6 inches tall. They were little tiny plushes because you can get them for tickets, you know, that kind of thing. So they weren't very big, but I don't know whatever became of those, but they're around here probably in a box somewhere, I bet.
Well, yeah, I got a lot of stuffed animals in a box that I need to arrange or something. Yeah.
We have a lot of stuffed animals around here because mainly I keep getting Disney character ones.
Well, and a lot come with me because I was I was not a Barbie kid. Like girls, you know, were kind of like Barbie or animals. Like I love stuffed animals of any kind of plush. Like My Little Pony was like Barbie to me.
Yeah.
And now I did get older and I thought, oh, Barbie's cool. So I have some Barbies and, you know, like, I did have Barbies. But
yeah, mainly you wanted some Care Bears.
I wanted little animals. Yes, yeah, little I wanted. Animals. Yeah.
I'm trying to turn the corner before we wander too far away.
Yeah.
So I did, though, dig up. I did some research trying to find some information. Although we do have some slightly conflicting information that we found about the origins here. I found that they were created by American Greetings in 1981 as part of a line of greeting card characters. Now, what I found is they were designed by an artist named Elena Kucharek, but you found a different name, somebody who was actually associated with Strawberry Shortcake.
So it sounded like, from what I found, that there was more than one person involved in the design, and she would have been the one that I think probably was, let me find it here, was the one that was credited to it. But yeah,
1981, I'd have been about 4 years old at that time, so I didn't even know they were around. They were probably on greeting cards, but they didn't have toys yet.
She created for the greeting card company, so it probably was on a greeting card.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So then,
well, so it's sort of like that, well, like Shirt Tales, which I think we've covered in a previous episode, was actually for a greeting card thing, and I've got the entire series of Shirt Tales I found in the store, and I had to get it just because
Yes, but when they went to toys, there was an artist, Muriel Farion. I'm probably butchering that name.
You're talking about the toy creation.
Yeah, so the toy creations, she was associated with Strawberry Shortcake's look.
Okay.
And that was one of the first concept artists for the toys.
All right, so that's probably when we're talking about Kenner started developing a line of plush toys in 1983. And that's each featuring a unique belly badge representing their personality and purpose. So I have a feeling that some of the American Greetings cards, maybe they were different colored bears, but maybe the belly badge came along later when we were starting to get a toy line because we wanted to have different characters of Care Bear. So it could be that they weren't really necessarily different characters, but they had some of those designs. I'm kind of curious now.
Yeah, it would be interesting to find out.
Because, of course, when you get something popular as a greeting card, they were like, I bet we could sell some toys because that's where your money is. And, of course, once you get toys, I mean, you can, of course, get them on glasses and you can make an animated series in the 80s. Especially because we really broke a lot of ground with like He-Man getting an animated series. And there was some parent groups that were like, hey, wait a minute. Is this cartoon just to sell toys? Sort of. But if you put some educational value in the 80s, they were okay with it. So that's why we got some lessons from He-Man and from G.I. Joe at the end of the episode. And the Care Bears were teaching lessons anyway.
Yeah, because that was kind of their whole thing. Yeah.
So why don't you tell us about the 1980s animated series?
So the Care Bears, that animated series ran from 1985 to 1988, was produced by Deke, which lots of the animation from our generation
Deke.
It was there. And then later seasons were produced by Nelvana. So that was 86 to the end.
Yeah.
And so they talked about how the Care Bears lived in Care-A-Lot. And of course, that was the place that as a kid you wanted. Because it was all clouds,
was all
and clouds and rainbows and fun and everything like that. And so they would use the Care Bear stare to spread love and positivity. And when they did that, of course, their little tummies and little badges on their tummies would like glow and shoot out. And you know, that could just change the heart of, you know, the villain. So,
It didn't change him all the time because you had Professor Coldheart and No Heart there.
Yeah. So, but usually it worked on.
You can drive them away, but they wouldn't change.
Yeah. And I think one of the movies they had, like, they used that to fix some kid that don't know. Anyway,
the kid who got corrupted by the movie had a different villain. We'll talk about the movie here in a little bit.
Yeah. And then there was a special, I think, or that they introduced the Care Bear cousin. So these were not bears.
That was one of the movies.
It wasn't a bear. These were different animals. Yeah. So like lions and
Braveheart lion.
And an elephant. They had.
Yeah. And a little penguin.
And the penguin and stuff like that. And I love those because they were different animals I'm just all about animals.
They were. I liked the cousins. They lived in the in a forest of feelings.
Yes. Forest of feelings. So not had quite so many clouds, but you know, it was a forest.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, and then later that aired on ABC, and then there was some syndication afterwards, which is probably how I caught it a little more.
Yeah, I think I saw more in syndication, but I think it was a Saturday morning cartoon on ABC, if I'm remembering correctly.
But I do remember going to the movie theater to watch the movie. Now, I would be really little, and I don't remember, but I do remember watching Care Bears at a movie.
Yeah, theater. 1985 is when that first movie came out. Now, I didn't see it in theaters, but I did watch it on cable. This was actually the produced by Nelvana, and even looking on YouTube, there is an official Care Bears YouTube. You can see the Deke animation is kind of different, and even the voices are kind of different than what we got later from Nelvana. And I think the Nelvana version was a bit more popular, at least that's where we're more recognized. And that's where Tenderheart Bear was actually voiced by the same woman who was the voice of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer back in the Rankin-Bass
Festival.
Which is kind of fun. Yeah. So, because she could do kind of a little boy voice, which worked pretty good. Because basically, most of the Care Bears, I'm pretty sure, were all women. Although I know Braveheart Lion was a guy, but I think mostly it was women who could do kind of a voice, sort of like a Katie Lee, how she could do Richie Rich. She played Richie Rich in a series and stuff, and then was also Rolf, Baby Rolf. So you can usually, if you need like a child or a baby boy, you can get a woman who can do the right things with her voice and kind of make it sound like a little kid.
But
you know,
most of the bears were boys.
I think it was a pretty good mix.
Yeah, I mean there were some girls, but a lot of them were boys.
There were a lot of girls in there too. I remember you know, the Cheer Bear was the most girly girl one because in later episodes with the Care Bear cousins, she kind of had a little ponytail in the back of her fur.
Oh,
it's kind of like they were trying to make them more distinct and stuff like that. But I couldn't tell you. I know Tenderheart was a boy. The Grumpy was a boy.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you all of like the different ones. I mean, they were just they didn't have very much to differentiate.
And they didn't make a big deal about them being
boy
or girl either. Bears. They just were bears, just loved you know. Them. Yeah.
They were just fun. But that movie, like 1985 from Nelvana, this follows a group of children and the Care Bears, and they battle this evil spirit who is corrupting the boy named Nicholas, which you were talking about. They hit Nicholas with a stare.
Yeah.
And I can hear Tenderheart, Care Bears, stare! And they would all line up and
they all lined up there on the edge of the cloud. And
It doesn't mention the name of the villain in the Care Bears movie. Maybe it had some of the original ones. He wanted to learn magic, and this evil guy was teaching him magic.
Magician or something like that.
It grossed $23 million, making it one of the first independently produced animated films to be a hit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And in fact, it was such a hit that the following year, 1986, we had Care Bears Movie 2, A New Generation. And this is where we get the Care Bear Cousin. And you're looking up something, so I'm going to keep going through my notes here. So this is actually a prequel because we get to see the Care Bear babies. And we have the grandma kind of bear that was raising the Care Bear mm-hmm. babies. And there's this cute kind of little montage thing that had a little song to it. Growing up, something. Life's so good when you're growing up. It's this cute little song.
Mm.
It was very, very, I mean, it's the Care Bears. So everything is very, very sweet and very, very light. And, you know, it doesn't really get dark and scary in the Care Bears world, except for maybe the villain Darkheart. He was a shape-shifting entity, and he learns about friendship. It was less successful than the first, but it's still a favorite among the fans. And then there's something, 1987, I didn't even know this happened.
Oh, I didn't know about this one either.
Well, tell us about it.
So this, there was a third movie, I guess that's what this would be. So it's Care Bears Adventure in Wonderland, and that was in 1987. So it's really loosely adapted off of Alice in Wonderland, but the Care Bears are in there helping a girl to become Princess of Wonderland. And this was the last major theatrical release for the Care Bears in the 80s.
And I don't even remember it being in theaters.
I don't remember it. I would have been seven at that around that year. And that all would have remembered, you know.
Yeah. By then I was like 10 years old and all into Ninja Turtles and stuff.
Well, I probably was starting to transition into Ninja Turtles as well, but I would have still been.
It was before we got Ninja Turtle movies and it exploded because everybody knew about it.
But yeah. The series started in?
About 1987 is when we started to get it here in syndication. I think so. When I recall seeing it, mainly is 87. So the plush toys, of course, were a massive success. They sold millions of those things in the 1980s. Yeah. I mean, that was the thing, you know, for like cute toys you had. Of course, the Cabbage Patch Kids were like a riot, literally.
And then the Garbage Pail Kids that came after
They weren't like a big toy thing like this. Yeah. Garbage Pails were later on, but I'm talking your Shirt Tails,
mm-hmm.
your Care Bears, and your Cabbage Patch Kids. Those were the cute stuff that was coming out in some sort of a stuffed thing or a plush.
My Little Pony did have some plush.
Yeah, I guess they did, didn't they?
They did. They were bigger
plush. But they weren't known for their plush, you know. And of course, then you'd get Pound Puppies later and everything. But, you know.
I love Pound Puppies.
Cute things would get, you know, pretty good and made successful toys back in the day. It was pretty fun. But there were action figures. And I do remember, I think I had some of them when they were about maybe 3 inches tall. They had little figures of some of the Care Bears. I think I had some of those.
I don't know.
Puzzles, books, lunchboxes, and more. And they've actually been re-released in various forms over the decades due to the popularity because us nostalgic parents, we want to buy it for our kids. Like, oh, I love this when I was a kid and you'd like it, which is why I think the Care Bears actually are still around. And there are different animated series, computer animated ones that they don't hit the same nostalgia button for me. But I guess they're meant for the kids this generation.
Well, and there's something about bears that's
everybody likes teddy bears.
Everybody likes teddy bears. And now I think the newer Care Bears are probably tilted a little more towards the girls. But when they first came out, there wasn't, it was like, this is a boy toy or a girl toy. You didn't have that. Like it was just everybody toy. Yeah. And a lot of the ones that you listed, like the Shirt Tails and Cabbage Patch Kids and stuff. Now Cabbage Patch Kids probably was a little more girl oriented, but any kid could like those. You know, there wasn't a boy versus girl thing. Like there is so a lot anymore.
Especially with Pound Puppies and Shirt Tails and Care Bears.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't exclusive. I mean, you know, the Care Bears, mainly when you're younger is when you're going to enjoy the Care Bears. As you get to be a little bit older, that's when a boy's going to differentiate into more of like G.I. Joe or Transformers and more action figures. And girls might transition themselves to some Barbie or some My Little Pony, perhaps. My Little Pony was still kind of a cutie thing, though.
My Little Pony was, yeah, it was definitely more of a girl thing.
But it was definitely more of a girl, but it, you know, so it's not quite the cute, universally loved by all kids like it, like Shirt Tales and Care Bears.
Mm-hmm.
So there actually was some video games, though. I did not. Did you ever see
a
video game of this?
No.
1983 for the Atari 2600 was never actually officially released, though. But there are there are some modern games for the Game Boy Advance, and Nintendo DS, and on some mobile platforms. Which I, you know, Game Boy Advance didn't have, Nintendo DS didn't have, mobile platforms. I almost wonder if I was to get my phone here and look up Care Bears, if I'd find a little game.
Mm.
You know what would be kind of fun? I don't know if this exists or not. This is just me thinking. Because I've played stuff like there's a Disney game where you kind of build your own, sort of a Disney park, but you're making homes for the Disney characters. I played that for a good long time. Wouldn't it be fun? Because there's even, I think, a... maybe a Snoopy one, I think I found, where you're building a little town for Peanuts characters. Stuff like that. But could you imagine having a little game where you're building Care-A-Lot and you're trying to get all the different Care Bears to build a little home so the little different Care Bears can live and you have little activities to do? I bet they've got something like
that. So, funny you mentioned that.
You found one?
On Animal Crossing New Horizons, there are people that have made islands with some of the Sanrio stuff. Because there is these characters, Kiki and Lala, and they're little angels,
Hello Kitty, by the way.
They're little angels. So they have a lot of cloud furniture and stuff. And the villagers on their islands are bears, like the little cub bears. So they have recreated as best they can within that platform, Care-A-Lot on their island.
What's the Sanrio stuff?
No joke.
So you got Hello Kitty and Care Bears?
So no, you can turn the furniture in such a way that you see the cloud part of it. So like they have a bed that like the footboard and the headboard are clouds, but you can turn them so it looks like there's clouds.
Okay.
And you can build people get real creative with the stuff to create like a cloud like environment. Usually look better in winter because then it can, you know, like white. Like
yeah,
snow.
Then it's white.
But yes, they have. People have done it to where they have made it to look like their island is a big cloud and like.
And it's
little bears live on
well,
it.
Well, you could do more than bear because you could get a lion in there. That mm-hmm. we have Braveheart Lion, you know. There's the monkey, the little raccoon.
Mm-hmm.
There have been some TV revivals, though.
Yeah. So throughout the years, there's been some reboots. I don't know if currently it's even as big as it was, but you know, in our generation. But there was in 2007, Adventures in Care-A-Lot, and then in 2015 on Netflix, there were Care Bears and Cousins. And then in 2019 on Cartoon Network, there was a Unlock the Magic reboot on that.
Mm. And of course, you get pop culture references with stuff like which of all things, The Simpsons, Robot Chicken and Family Guy have done. Of course, you know, Robot Chicken was going to do something with Care Bears. But they probably did something horrible to them.
I feel like all of those shows would do something horrible to them, quite frankly.
Yeah, unfortunately, quite I bet frankly. They would. Yeah. So, but I didn't realize this, that apparently there is a term for overwhelming kindness or positively. They call it a Care Bear stare.
Mm, well, that seems appropriate.
And then, you know, for one of the themes that we used to have back when this was the Neverland podcast, we talk about keeping a pixie in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So you could take it out and share it with that positive idea with other people. Maybe we need to just remember to... Care Bear stare at some people.
Care Bear stare.
Just,
although
just
don't stare at people. Too much. That might weird them out.
Yeah. In the modern world, if you stare at people, but no, but it's supposed to be just showing some kindness and caring to people is doing a Care Bear stare.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, do something like this. All right. Now we have a few Key Bears. We already talked about Tenderheart Bear, leader and mentor of the Care Bears. He was brown, sometimes depicted as orange or tan in later versions, had a red heart for the belly badge. He was kind, wise, and protective. And he helps guide the other Care Bears and often leads missions to spread love and kindness. Notable appearances, of course, he was prominent in the Care Bears movie, guiding the kids and leading the charge against the evil spirit. I guess we didn't have a name for the spirit. It's just evil spirit.
Yeah.
Frequently portrayed as the big brother figure in the franchise. Why don't you tell us about Cheer Bear?
Okay, so Cheer Bear is one of the other original bears. And so he's very optimistic.
Goodness.
Okay,
I remember this was a female. She
very
had a ponytail.
Optimistic, spreads happiness and encouragement. The color of the bear is pink and the belly badge is a rainbow. And the personality for this bear is upbeat, supportive, ready to cheer up anyone who is feeling down. And then often showing her rainbow powers to spread joy and fight negativity. And she's a fan favorite due to her bright personality and leadership in later iterations.
And I know a lot of people love Grumpy Bear. He's got a heart of gold. He's just grumpy. He was blue, has a little rain cloud with raindrops, sometimes shown with hearts on his belly. He's pessimistic, he's easily annoyed, but he cares deeply about his friends. And frequently served as comic relief because, you know, when you got a grouchy character, you want to do silly things to them. Because he's grouchy, but yet he's endearing. He still cares about you. He's just a little grouchy. And despite his rough nature, he always comes through when they need him.
All right. And then we have Sunshine Bear. And this bear is energetic and adventurous. The bear is yellow. And the badge is a smiling sun.
I like Sunshine Bear.
Yeah. And of course, what kid wouldn't like? That is like the epitome of a kid. And the personality is playful, athletic, always up for an adventure. And it would be, he shows up in later adaptions like Welcome to Care-a-Lot. Sunshine is portrayed as sporty and fun-loving.
And then Wish Bear. I liked Wish Bear, too. Mm-hmm. Wish Bear is a little dreamer, makes wishes come true.
Was he always sleepy? Was he always sleepy?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that's Bedtime Bear.
Oh, okay.
We'll probably talk about Bedtime Bear. It might be on my list of things. But Wish Bear was aqua blue or turquoise, had a little shooting star on his belly. Very gentle, hopeful, full of belief in the magic and dreams, and often helps the characters believe in themselves and their dreams.
Right. And then Love-A-Lot Bear, this might have been the one that Laura had, my sister.
Love-A-Lot had like two hearts.
I think that's what it was. Love-A-Lot. Anyway, this is the romantic love-spreading bear, and the color is either magenta or pink, and the belly badge has two intertwined hearts, and is always encouraging love, friendship, and affection, and has significant role in several of the TV episodes where she helps people to understand love.
And I don't have anything about Bedtime Bear, but Bedtime Bear was the one that was always asleep. And when I was looking on YouTube on like the first episode, this interesting Bedtime Bear could take his little moon and set it as a nightlight.
I don't know if you want to know, there's 10 original Care Bears.
Well, I was trying to get the more prominently known,
most of those that we talked about are on there. The only ones that we missed was Birthday Bear. That's the one that I had.
Share-a-Lot.
Friend Bear.
Friend Bear.
Good Luck Bear.
Yeah, Luck Bear. I like Good Luck Bear.
And we already talked about Wish Bear, didn't we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wish Bear was one.
Yeah, there was just a couple on that were the original 10 that they were actually on that little, you know, read-along book.
Yeah. But now, okay, so the Care Bear cousins introduced, actually, it says 1985 here that they were brought up, but I believe it was the second one where we get some origins. But they're different. Of course, we mentioned the four works of feelings where that they all live. They share the same mission, spreading love and kindness. And of course, they were led by Braveheart Lion, who was orange and had a red heart-shaped medal. He was courageous, bold, and protective, played a key role in the Care Bears movie when leading the cousins to help the Care Bears defeat the evil spirit. So I guess they were in the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
Often seen encouraging others to be brave. And he had a great fun voice that I think I recognized in the 80s. That actor voiced a lot of characters like that.
I'd have to hear it. And I probably would.
I liked it.
It's kind of in my head, but it's been a while. So then we had Loyal it Heart
had
Dog.
A little bit of a gruff voice, but higher. Gruff.
Yeah.
He was, I loved it. Probably like Braveheart Lion. I loved all these characters, really, I guess. I keep saying that. Like, oh, I love that one.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah.
I loved them all.
Yeah, they were very lovable. That's why they're so popular.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people are trying to revive them because, you know, they're just good characters, you know, and the like. Oh, but okay. So our next cousin is a Loyal Heart Dog, and he's the most loyal and dependable of the cousins. He is blue in color, and the belly badge is a heart-shaped medal with a star in the center. And his personality, of course, is devoted, friendly, and protective of his friend.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing him much in the cartoons. I don't think he
I remember him in the movie. He's kind of got little droopy ears.
Yeah. Doesn't he have a patch kind of on one eye? Kind of like, you know, you normally see with a dog.
No.
Oh.
No, I don't think so.
Like a big spot kind of thing.
No, I don't remember one.
Okay. Well, I do remember Bright Heart Raccoon.
Yep.
I like Bright Heart Raccoon. Yep. He was smart and logical. Little purple raccoon with a little light bulb on his heart. He's clever, inventive, and always thinking of new solutions. Often portrayed as a scientist or problem solver in episodes.
And then we have Playful Heart Monkey, and he is a fun-loving prankster and is orange in color, and his belly badge is a heart-shaped balloon. He's mischievous, energetic, and playful, and always ready to lift spirits.
He was a fun one. And Cozy Heart Penguin, I just like penguins anyway, but a gentle and warm-hearted little cousin who's light blue with a pink heart and a stocking cap on his tummy. Sweet, nurturing, and caring. He's a cozy little penguin. Or she was.
I think it was a she.
I think she was.
She. And see, Gentle Heart Lamb, I think, is a she as well.
Yeah.
And that was one that I identified. Because She is the kindest and most soft-spoken of the cousins. And I'm, as a kid, very shy and quiet. And she's light green in color. And her badge is a heart-shaped pillow. And she's very shy, kind, and willing, always willing to help.
Yep. And that's still pretty similar to you. All right. So some of the villains we had to deal with. 1985, with the animated series, we got Professor Coldheart. He's the main villain of the first season of the TV series. So he's a blue-skinned scientist with a long white mustache. Because, of course, you have to have the evil mustache. Mm-hmm. Loves making people miserable and spreading cold-heartedness. Often tries to remove love and caring from the world, and it's assisted by his henchwoman, Auntie Freeze.
Wah, wah, wah. Wah, wah.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay. It's good. It's the 80s. All was okay in the 80s.
Yep.
Okay. And then we had another villain is No Heart. And this villain appeared in the animated series.
Yeah, this is the Nelvana guy.
No, okay. And it was the primary villain in the Nelvana produced series. He is a dark sorcerer, wears a purple robe, and can shape-shift into different creatures. He hates love and happiness and seeks to eliminate Care Bears and their caring ways. Frequently battles the Care Bears using dark magic, and his henchman Beastly is a bumbling sidekick who constantly fails.
Yeah, Beastly used to laugh like that.
Oh, you remember more about this than I, but you were a little older when this came around, and I, you know.
Yeah, Beastly was always doing all the dirty work. It was mainly Beastly.
That's the job of a henchman.
Yeah, that's the job of a henchman. And then No Heart would come out and deride Beastly for, and then when he'd show up, the Care Bears would stare him down and run No Heart away and stuff like that. But then Beastly would think he was winning, and then he'd get orders from No Heart. But yeah, Beastly was the main one. And he had the voice, like he would talk like this. And if you heard his voice, you'd know, like you heard him in probably about every cartoon. That guy, he was prominent with that voice. So, but then we also had Dark Heart from the Care Bears movie 2, A New Generation. He's the main antagonist, of course. He's another shapeshifter, but he's red and can transform into a human boy. Da, da, da. Starts out as a villain who captures the Care Bears, but later redeems himself. You know, I don't remember a whole lot on that one.
I remember a bit of the Care Bear movie 2.
I want to watch it now.
A lot of the beginning, but for some reason, I'm kind of fuzzy on the end of that one.
Yeah. Well, his transformation from evil to good is a major plot point in the film. Yeah, I bet we can find these on streaming.
Oh, I bet we do.
We're going to have to watch some of these.
Sounds like something that we could watch. And like, yeah,
just for fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe even do it with watching movies with my pastor. Watch some Care Bears movies.
There you go.
Oh, we even had an evil spirit in the first Care Bear movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, I want to say it was like with, I feel like there was a magician or something about that in the spirit escape.
Oh, it's the book.
And got a hold of the boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Here we go. Yeah. So evil spirit in the Care Bears movie. The main villain in the Care Bears movie is this evil spirit. That's just its name. Ghostly green woman trapped in a magic book. She's very manipulative and cruel and corrupts a lonely boy named Nicholas into doing her bidding.
I kind of remember that now. We're going to watch this again.
Yep.
All right. We got a few notable episodes from season 1, episode 15, The Magic Shop. This aired on November 2nd of 85. A young girl named Wendy encounters Professor Coldheart, who has opened a mysterious magic shop, initially appearing friendly. That's how they always are.
Yep.
Coldheart's true intentions unfold as Wendy and her friends explore the shop, leading to an adventure where the Care Bears must intervene and protect the children. Fans love it because this episode introduces a compelling storyline with Professor Coldheart, showcasing the Care Bears' dedication to helping children in tricky situations and staring down bad guys.
Then the next noteworthy episode was Carolot's Birthday. And this aired September 13th in 86.
Yep. Season 2, episode 1.
Yep. Okay. Season 2, episode Nirvana, 1.
After the movie, I think Nelvana is probably where this picks up. Yeah. For Nelvana.
Nelvana. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Not Nirvana. Nelvana.
I kind of slipped and said Nirvana a little bit. But anyway.
I said Nelvana. I just have an accent.
Okay. As the Care Bears prepare to celebrate Carolot's birthday, their festivities are disrupted when Beastly kidnaps Baby Hugs and Baby Tug.
Oh, no. I remember them.
Yeah. Well, those were the two babies. That was the next generation. And the Care Bears embark on a daring mission to No Heart Castle to rescue the cubs and save their home. And this episode combines elements of celebration and adventure, highlighting the themes of unity and bravery as the Care Bears confront challenges to protect their own. I feel like I remember that episode.
I remember Hugs and Tugs.
Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, that sounds so familiar. Like, maybe I watched that episode.
A lot of these episodes are available on YouTube or other streaming
services.
I'm going to have to edit that out. So November 23rd, 1985, season one, episode 11, The Cloud Worm / The Girl Who Cried Wolf. I think it was like a two episode, you know, two story episode.
Two-parter, yeah.
Well, not two-parter, but just had two stories in one episode.
Yeah.
So in The Cloud Worm, the Care Bears face a giant cloud-eating worm threatening Care-a-Lot. And in The Girl Who Cried Wolf, the bears assist a girl named Emma, who must save her friends from an old spooky house after her false alarm leads them into danger. This dual episode showcases the Care Bears' problem-solving skills and imparts valuable lessons about honesty and the consequences of false warning. So these are the episodes that exemplify the charm and moral lessons that made the Care Bears series a beloved classic. And of course, you make it educational enough and you can get away with selling toys on a cartoon. That's pretty much how you do it. You teach little good lessons. And now I don't think you'll learn anything from any cartoons these days. I don't know.
No.
SpongeBob ain't going to teach you nothing.
It's so much more about entertainment. Yeah. And I don't know. That is such a change. Like, I feel like we had more need to learn lessons, yeah, moral lessons when we were a kid. And yeah, now it's just sheer entertainment.
And now the only way they seem to be able to teach a lesson is by preaching it at you in some fashion. They don't have a way to have, yeah, a story to kind of illustrate things. And now you get things shoved in there. They want to teach kids stuff, but they teach stuff that
agenda.
Is not.
It's more agenda driven than, yeah, just,
I don't want to
basic,
like deep dive into, yeah, that. But yeah, there's been some cartoons that have slipped some things in there that the parents might not be cool with.
Well, and there's even been some reboots of things that we watched as a kid that have been changed
and then, yeah,
to reflect an agenda that was not there in the original. And one of those, in particular, one that I loved as a kid, it just kept me from watching the new one because I cannot stand that.
Like Era?
That would be the one.
Yeah,
that
would be the one.
That would be the one. I watched all the time as a kid, but I cannot stand it now.
Yeah. Like, but well, let's wrap this up by reminding you to, when you go to NeverlandPodcast.com, you'll also find links for Podgagement. If you happen to be a podcaster and you want to get your reviews from around the world, this is a fantastic service from Daniel J. Lewis, award-winning podcaster, I will say. And of course, we want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Wilhite and Wall Show. They helped me out with the intro. Don't forget to email us at podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Follow us on X at x.com/neverlandpcast. And also on Facebook, the Fandom Nexus. That's how you will get to the fan like page. Mainly what gets posted there is new episodes. But if you want to join our Facebook group, that is under facebook.com. If you search for Neverland Podcast, you should be able to find the group. And it's a lot more interactive because I have to switch profiles in order to post stuff into the fan page. But the group, I can post as myself, and we have a lot more fun over there and able to share more things. If you would like to become an official Neverlander, a Lost Boy, or Pixie, why Pixies? Do you remember why we have Pixies?
Girls never get lost.
Girls are too clever, and they don't get lost. I'm quoting the book. Yeah, which we still quote the book, even though we're not Neverland anymore. But that's okay. And also, don't forget, right there in your show notes, you're going to find how to go to our Patreon page. You can become a donor over there, and then you get ad-free episodes also available to you on Red Circle. You're going to get bonus episodes and ad-free episodes or Red Circle exclusive. And on our Patreon, by the way, if you go and join our Patreon, you're also going to get some bonus episodes of the Watching Movies with My Pastor, where I do more of a watch-along type of thing. I don't cut down the length of the episode, and I try to get the audio of the movie that we're watching, so you can kind of watch along with us and make sure you're kind of intact with us. Plus, it's easier. I guess if you just want to listen, you'll know what we're hearing. So that is available to people who are a part of the Patreon. But that is going to wrap it up for us this week. So you remember what we say at the end of every episode?
Get lost.
In an adventure. And it's funny because I was doing a little countdown so we could say it together. And my brain was going, the Care Bear countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bye.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.